16 minutes away from 4 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas, giving you the temperatures of all the surrounding areas.
Trying.
We're in the 70s today.
Yeah, it's fascinating how it fluctuates so much, isn't it?
It is. It's very interesting. And although we're going to be around this area for a little while, hopefully the humidity will subside some.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with the 70s, but let's get rid of that humidity. That's no bueno. Time for us to head to the hotline and bring in our first guest of the day. Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette joins us on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by the fine folks at Vandermark Jewelers. I was just there today paying Jim and Bob Vandermark a visit. You should head on down there as well. Sweetest Day is right around the corner. And if you stop by Vandermark Jewelers, well, they've got some great ideas for you. They're located on Broad Street, right across from the hospital, a trusted name in jewelry. That's Vandermark Jewelers. Lisa, how are you?
I'm good this afternoon. How are you guys?
We are doing pretty well so far, but I guess it's still
pretty early. I think the weather's kind of chilly.
Chilly? In the 70s?
Well, I mean, it feel like it's 70 with 70 with a cold undertone.
A cold undertone.
Yeah, it is kind of strange. I'll agree with Lisa on that. It's kind of got that muggy feel to it, as you mentioned, but
yeah.
I don't think it's warm either.
I think if you took the humidity out of the equation, it wouldn't be nearly so bad, and I would probably feel more of those colder undertones, but the air is just so thick right now, it takes the colder undertones away for me. But, you know, to each their own. Lisa, wanted to bring something up here to get things going here about the long overdue repairs to Bridge Street, you know, between Broad Street and Cleveland Street. And if any of you have driven on that stretch, you know exactly what we're talking about. It can get pretty treacherous. Any idea how much it's going to cost in order to get this project finished and how long this is going to take?
Well, this project is going to cost about $454,000. But the city of Elyria only has to put up about 11% of that, so they have to put up about $50,000. The rest of the money is going to come from Ohio Public Works funding, which is state funding used to pay for road projects like this. And this is kind of, you said it is a long overdue project. I think the last time this road was paved was back in 2001, so we're talking 17 or 18 years. And if you've driven by there, you try to go under that railroad bridge, you understand just how treacherous that road is. And so last year was a really bad year, so they started applying for funding, and they finally got the funding for it from the state to be able to do this project.
Is that what it was that kind of took it so long to get going? Was it just a matter of getting the funding to get things going?
Yes. I mean, before Issue 6 happened back in 2016, the city just didn't have this kind of money to put towards projects. So once they got Issue 6 passed, they ended up having, you know, they have a pot of money now where they can tap for their own local shares, because with these projects that come with state funding, you have to be able to provide your local share. And if you're stretched so thin that you can't do that, then projects get shelved year after year.
And as you mentioned, it's long overdue. I drive on that almost every single day. And a lot of times as I approach the bridge underneath the railroad, I really have to slow down. And, you know, over time, you can only repair that so much with some hot patch and things of that nature. So when you're talking about 17, 18 years since it was last redone, it's long, long overdue, especially when you consider just how much traffic goes through there on a daily basis. Lisa, one of the newer programs that's been discussed over the last week had changed, the new Elyria Works program. How does this work, and how is it going to help Elyrians get back to work?
Well, this project has been about a year in the making. Back in 2017, the mayor applied for a Michael Bloomberg Foundation grant to try to get this project off the ground. Elyria was not awarded the grant, but she did see that this project was going to be so valuable for the city, so she decided to go ahead and push through it. She's got a lot of partners with her. She's got some businesses that are willing to step up and be side of these pilot programs so that people can, you know, come and get these jobs here. We're talking about the Elyria Foundry and MultiLink, who have stepped up and said, you know, if you can get the people ready for these entry-level positions, we will put them in the pipeline. Now, this doesn't guarantee jobs, but it does guarantee that you will be considered first for a job. You still have to go through the application process, and you still have to prove that you're, you know, a viable candidate for a job. But at least the people will now, it's called a screen-in process instead of a screen-out process. Instead of them looking for reasons not to hire you, they will start looking for reasons to hire you.
Yeah, and what I find interesting about this, too, is that, you know, you have a lot of companies. You have a lot of industries in Elyria that are still looking for help. They need people to work. And, you know, a lot of times you hear people say, look, I mean, it's an entry-level job. How beneficial can it be? It can be very beneficial because there are a lot of companies in this city that are looking for help, and they need people like yesterday from what it sounds like.
Absolutely. And these are jobs that, you know, they have a decent start salary. We're talking between $10 and $15 an hour. And kind of the target population for this are high school graduates who came out of high school kind of without a clear plan. So they're probably looking for some kind of employment. She's also looking for low-income families, mothers, fathers, you know, single households who, you know, for some reason did not get into the job market or having trouble getting into the job market. And they may be lacking those kind of soft skills that employers are looking for. This is going to kind of help you with, you know, resume writing, job interview skills, you know, all of the little things that go into getting a job that sometimes people have to be coached along to make that happen.
Again, we're talking with Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette on our Local Beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Lisa, flu season is right around the corner, and it seems like, boy, there's something that's making the rounds. Maybe it's not the flu. It's more like a cold. My tag team partner got hit with that about a week and a half ago. The poor guy, he was down for the count for a little while, but there are free flu shots now being offered for Elyria students. How does that all this work, and where'd the funding come from?
Well, actually, this is something that's going to work out great for the district because the company will be providing the flu shots, covering the entire cost. They will, you know, of course, they're asking parents to send, you know, proof of insurance if they have it for their students. But if they don't have insurance, then, you know, the company will just pick up the flu shots for the school district. I, you know, I'm assuming as a parent, I don't very often get my son a flu shot. And, you know, it's an extra visit to the doctor's office that you have to do just to go in there and get a shot for 5 minutes. But with this company, you know, they come in there and they're right in the school and they'll give the kids a shot and send them back on their way to the classroom. It's a really easy process. You go to elyriaflu.com to sign up online, and you just make sure you sign up 3 days before the November 6th deadline, and you're good to go. I signed my son up. It took me about 10 minutes online to do it. They just asked a couple questions about who he was and what school he went to and if he had insurance. And this would be great because last year so many kids were out with the flu, and so many kids and parents had the struggle of making sure to get the kids to school. So they're trying to see if they can, if this will help. You know, if more people have the flu vaccine, maybe they can increase attendance.
Yeah, no question about that. Every little bit helps, and it's really awesome that the funding came through and that these shots will be provided for the kids, no doubt about it. Well, if you were around Ely Square this past weekend, you, of course, saw the fantastic that was the Apple Festival, one of our favorite festivals of the year. It kind of closes out that fair festival season, and it's like a nice little introduction to the fall as well. And from what it sounds like, Lisa, it was a really successful Apple Festival with just over 75,000 people coming through the area.
Yes. This is the first year in probably a decade that I have missed the Friday opening ceremonies with the Elyria High School Pioneer Marching Band performing. But I made it there on Saturday. The Apple Festival Queen competition was just phenomenal. They had about 15, 16 young contestants who were coming there to want to be crowned queen. They had a great girl named Martia Boone, who was this year's queen. She was also best costume. And so I just thought it was a great time at the festival this year.
What's your favorite part about the festival? You mentioned that you've been there almost every year for the opening ceremonies. Matt Douglas and I were actually there. We heard the Elyria Marching Band as part of those opening ceremonies. See, nobody believes us when we tell people that we were doing show prep. We were down there eating, but still, it was show prep. It was absolutely show prep. So what's your favorite aspect of the Apple Festival? Because there's so many cool things that happen throughout the weekend.
I love to stop at the Grove stand because I get an apple fritter. I get apple cider, and this year they had the Grove's fresh sweet corn, and so they had it kind of on a rotisserie, so I love that. It was the first year they did that. They said they wanted to figure out a way to bring their corn to the Apple Festival, and so they had a kind of rotisserie system going on, so that was amazing. I love that. I do love how it just brings everyone in the community out. You kind of see people, you know, since I have my new job in Medina Gazette now, a lot of people don't see me on a daily basis, so it was really nice to connect with people. You know, Rotary does their ice cream, their fried ice cream. And so that's why I like the festival a lot, because it gives you a time to kind of connect with people before the weather turns and everyone's inside.
Hey, is Groves, is that where you got that apple cider slushy?
Yeah, I got the apple cider slush over there. I love those things.
Yes.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that's...
You know, they have their location on 113, but they're at the festival. Yeah, that apple cider slush is one of the things that my son has to pick up every time he's there.
Well, you mentioned that fried ice cream. I was talking with Jim Vandermark earlier today. He mentioned that he actually helped at the... He helped out the Rotary. He said that... I want to say he said it was on Saturday or Sunday... He was out there for a few hours, and he said the line was at least 30 people deep. 30 people deep consistently. Whew.
I will say that Saturday. When I went there Saturday, I can contest that the line was very long. My son didn't even know what they were selling. He said, are all these people sitting in line for fried ice cream? I said, yes, they are, because this is the only time of the year you can get that treat.
Well, because you're 5 Mile Famous, don't you get to cut in front of the line? Don't you have special privileges for that?
Well, I actually, I hate to say this, please don't tell Jim, I don't eat the fried ice cream.
Oh, wow.
It's a little too sweet for me.
Sure. That's all right, because Bull makes up for what you don't eat, I assure you, Lisa.
Oh, let me tell you, it was so good. I destroyed that thing. My body felt like garbage for like the next 36 hours, but it was so, for the 10 minutes it took me to eat that thing, it was so well worth it.
Ten minutes. It was more like two, dude.
Well, all right, I was stretching it out a little bit. God, that was good, though. It was just so fantastic. Lisa, before we cut you loose here, it is National One-Hit Wonder Day. That's been trending on Twitter for, well, I would say somewhere in the area of about 12 hours now. People going crazy over that. What's your favorite, Nash? What's your favorite one-hit wonder of all time?
My favorite, you know what? I don't think he would consider himself a one-hit wonder. However, me personally, I cannot recall any other songs that he has produced. So I'm going to say Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby. I don't know what else he's done.
Well, that's good. That's a one-hit wonder. He didn't have anything else big after that. That's a good pick.
It's a very good pick. I mean, I think he's been in some Sandler movies once or twice.
He had his own movie.
Well, yeah, but that...
He had his own movie, Bull. Yeah, okay, you've never had a movie.
I'm with Lisa. He's most definitely a one-hit wonder, regardless of what he tries to pitch to.
Good old Rob Van Winkle, right?
Yeah, Rob Van Winkle. Lisa, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll do it again next week.
Got to see you guys then.
Thank you, Lisa. Again, Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram and, of course, the Medina Gazette, enjoying her new role down in Medina. Lisa's appearances brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on Broad Street, right across from the hospital, a trusted name in jewelry. You know, Jim's a big member of the community, and, you know, we've been talking a lot about this Apple Festival. Jim was certainly one of those at the forefront of that, a big, big part of that. I was actually down at Vandermark earlier today.
You mentioned that,
taking care of some business. Yeah, so... Fun stuff. All right. We need to step aside and take a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon in a minute. We've got Your Money Now, and then we have Matt Douglas with the local news. And then Jeff Varga is going to join us here in studio at 4:10. He's performing at Lorain County Community College's Stocker Arts Center October 12th and 13th. He'll be here in studio.